Dr. Martin Frontzman, sainted professor of Concordia Seminary, in a 1961 book that he wrote titled Follow Me, Discipleship According to St. Matthew, writes about the messianic character of the disciples' mission and of our mission. As he does, he comments, among other, all of it, on verses 24 and 25 of Matthew chapter 10. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Frontzman says, the disciple is committed to a teacher who is not only teacher, but also Lord. The fate of the master involves the master's household as well. And that fate is contradiction and blasphemy. But that fate is also divine vindication. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be made known, Jesus says. The very fact that men will call satanic what they refuse to recognize as divine is to faith already evidence that God is present and at work when the kingdom and the Christ are proclaimed. Men do not trouble to blaspheme anything less urgent and inescapable than the divine. Anything less can be explained away somehow. But men cannot have done with the kingdom and the Christ by explaining them away. They must either believe or blaspheme. And so the fact that the disciple encounters blasphemy is grounds for courage. The messianic servant of the Lord shall prosper. He shall be lifted up and shall be very high, Isaiah tells us. The rabbi of Nazareth shall be manifested as the Lord of life, with all authority in heaven and on earth in his hand. To follow in his train is to advance toward triumph. To proclaim his cause and claim upon the housetops is to proclaim the victor's cause and to assert the victor's claim. The kingdom comes, and no one will have the strength to stay its coming. The advance toward triumph goes the messianic way through persecution and death. The men who oppose it can kill, but not destroy. The one fear that is to dominate the life of the apostle is not the paralyzing fear of men, but the impelling fear of God. The apostle is to fear that he may deny the cause and the kingdom of him who can destroy eternally. And that fear drives out every other fear. But Jesus does not merely fight fire with fire, Frontzman continues. He reminds the disciple that the God whom he fears is also the God who he loves and trusts as his Father, the God whose eye is on the sparrow. He has numbered the hairs of the disciple's head. The disciple is to know that the life which he has laid into the Father's hands will be kept safely there. And so Jesus says, have no fear of them. Do not fear those who can kill the body but not the soul. Fear not, for you are of much more value than many sparrows. With this triple brass of Jesus, fear not for his armor. The disciple is to find the courage to acknowledge the Christ before men, knowing that all his acts are done not merely before men, but before the Christ, and are therefore fraught with everlasting consequences. The Christ will confess the confessor and deny the denier before his Father in heaven at the great Aziz, where the Christ is proclaimed. There will always be both confessors and deniers. However, Jesus' last word to us is one of high and encouraging promise, a promise that's actually to be heard in next Sunday's gospel, but which we need to hear now from the Christ who died for us so that we might live to him. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is my disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.